and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. As regular listeners would know, the focus of this program is about the power of pets or animal love. Australia is a nation of pet owners and pet lovers. 6 out of 10 households have a pet, yet outside the house they're rarely visible, barely tolerated in parks. In March, the online publication The Conversation published an article, "Australians Love Their Pets, So Why Don't More Public Places Welcome Them?" Today we have an interview with the article's co-author, Louise Grimmer, a lecturer in marketing and a retail researcher in the Tasmanian School of Business and Economics at the University of Tasmania. Louise has written many articles on retailing and marketing and tourism, but she's had a lot of response from this article. Welcome to the program, Louise.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Elaine.
So, Louise, you're an active researcher in the areas of sustainability and retailing, issues management, crisis communications in the context of the retail industry.
Yeah.
And you have research topics such as shopping precincts and supermarkets. But how did you get into the idea that animals are so important and that we should be taking animals to our pets to our shopping centres?
As a retail researcher, we're constantly looking at changes in the sort of product that manufacturers are trying to connect customers with. And one of the areas that we started looking at just this year was this huge growth in pet stores and pet supplies. And so that really got us thinking about not only how much money we spend on our pets in Australia, and we spend $12.2 billion a year on our pets in Australia, which is a staggering amount of money, but really looking at some of the new products that are being developed to try and connect with this huge market of consumers. And so some of the things that caught our eye were, you know, advances in pet foods. You can get very high-end pet food. You can get pet food for people who are vegetarian and want their pets to be vegetarian as well. And then we started looking at other things like the growth in pet insurance, the growth in specialised pet funerals, pet taxis, pet holidays, all of these. And when we were thinking about how much we love our pets, how high pet ownership rates are in Australia, and all of the sort of retail and marketing issues, we started to think, when you go out in public, you really don't see a lot of pets. And I guess I'm talking predominantly about dogs outside of the home. And so that's what really started us thinking about this issue and how different we are in Australia from other places around the world.
As pets are really part of the family now, they have very exotic names. They're not called Fido anymore, are they? Or Rover
right.
or Blackie or...
Yeah. That's right. Pets are really part of the family. And, you know, just to sort of have a look at a few statistics, in Australia, and I'm sure many of your listeners would be familiar with some of these figures, but in Australia, 62% of Australian households have a pet. Now, mostly that's a cat or a dog. And in Australia, there are about 4.8 million pet dogs and 4.2 million pet birds and 3.9 million pet cats. But you're right, we have really started more and more, I think, seeing pets as part of the family. And my sort of impetus for writing this piece in The Conversation about the fact that a lot of public places don't welcome our pets is that they are so important for so many people, especially for people who perhaps might live on their own. They really are a member of the family. And I think it would be nice if we had more opportunities to interact with them in public places and enjoy a lot of the activities that we want to do perhaps outside of the home with our pets. But often we just can't do that.
In Europe, sometimes you see pets on planes, you see pets in cafes having special meals.
Absolutely.
And more on trains as well.
Yes. When you go to places, like I'm thinking in particular sort of places where I've lived or visited quite a bit, places like London and Paris or New York, for example, you'll see dogs on the trains. And if you go to a cafe in Paris, there'll always be a dog inside the cafe or inside the bistro at dinner time. I've been into department stores, even in Scotland, I think, where there've been little dogs in the department stores. And if you go to the pub in England, most pubs that you go into, there'll be a lovely old, I don't know, grizzly old Labrador or something curled up by the fire if it's winter, or plenty of dogs out in the beer garden if it's summer. They have a really different approach to interacting with predominantly dogs in public in these other countries, particularly European countries. But even in America, you can catch the plane in the United States and there'll be dogs in the body of the aircraft, not down below, you know, like we have to take our pets when we're flying. So it's very different in Australia.
Why do you think that is? I mean, we've got the same laws as Britain. We've got the same culture in many ways as America. Why do you think Australians are different?
I think it's something to do with our history of housing. And so this was something else that we started to look at when we were writing this article. Well, why would we be so different from England in particular? So if you think about our history of housing in Australia, for a lot of us, and probably a lot of your listeners too, a lot of us grew up in suburban areas. If you look at the blocks of housing, the house took up a lot less room than the backyard. So you'd have a lot of green space, front yard and a backyard in most cases. There was plenty of room for dogs to run around in particular, or for you to have plenty of pets and those sorts of things. Mm. But what's happened now is that a lot of the new houses that are being built since early 1990s, if you look at some aerial photographs, you can see this change really dramatically. You know, we talk about McMansions and those sort of big houses. They're taking up much more of the housing block than they used to, and we're getting much smaller or no yard space. Mm. The garages are taking up a lot of room, and so that means that there's less area for pets to be running around at home and things. And the other thing is that we're moving into apartment, and they don't have spaces for pets either. So what's happened is previously we had pets at home, they had plenty of space to run around, and so we left them at home when we went out. So now more and more of us are losing some of that space at home, and we want to be able to take our pet out and about with us. Now if you look at housing in Europe or in big cities in America, a lot of people live in apartments, and they have done for years and years, and so they're used to taking their dogs out with them. They have to take the dog out for a walk, they have to take the dog to go to the toilet, and while they're out they might want to have a coffee or do some shopping. And so they've been much more accepting, I think, of the way that people interact with dogs in particular in public places.
I was thinking too that some dogs used to just spend most of their lives outside in the old days. Now yes. They're into bedroom.
It's surprising how many people you talk to and they actually reveal to you that I won't say Fido, but you know, it's probably got a much more sophisticated name, but you actually sleeps on the bed with them. You know, we spend a lot of money buying very plush beds and all sorts of accessories for our pet. But so many people have said to me as a result of this article and some of the other media that I did around it, we really want to be able to take our dog to the park, take our dog to the beach, go on the tram or the train with our dogs. But in most places, we haven't really changed culturally, I think.
Having a pet, I mean, I was interested that you say there are almost more pets than people, are there?
Some cats than
there are people in Australia.
There are actually more pets than children in Australian households. The ratio of pets to people in Australia is 101 to 100. So there are more animal companions than people. So it's quite incredible. And more of us live in a house with a cat and or a dog than we do with a child. For a lot of people who live by themselves or perhaps people who didn't have children, the pets are increasingly becoming really important members of the family and really important for people combating loneliness and some of those sort of issues. I think it's really important that perhaps local governments and even at a higher level look at, I don't know, relaxing some of the restrictions that we tend to see on pets in public places, because some of the talkback radio that I was involved in on this topic, so many people rang in with the most lovely stories about how they met strangers or had great conversations with people because they were with their dog. There was one lady who was asked to hold a dog outside a store for someone who was going in, and she said so many people stopped and talked to her, and she said, if I hadn't have been holding the dog, I wouldn't have had these wonderful conversations. And there's some research that was done at the University of Western Australia. What they were doing was surveying people who had a cat or a dog. And what they found was that the people who had a dog, I think it was about 60% of the respondents, knew the people who lived on their street, so knew their neighbours much, much better than people who didn't have a pet. And even if you had a cat or a bird or a fish, people who had some sort of pet at home also reported higher rates of knowing who lived on their street and interacting with them. There are great benefits all round, I think.
So there's definite social benefits, unless social people have pets, perhaps. But and there are also physical benefits, because if you've got a dog, you have to get out and go for a walk, don't you?
That's right. If you have a dog, you've sort of got that impetus to exercise. But also, I mean, a lot of the research has shown, and you know this and your listeners know this too, that, you know, pets are very significant at lowering our blood pressure, at being good for stress relief. And there are reasons why, I guess, dogs, for example, are often used used after traumatic events. You know, we've seen dogs being taken into hospitals and nursing homes to comfort people and just to, I guess, bring a smile to people's faces. There's certainly, I think, a lot of research that shows so many physical as well as mental health benefits for pet ownership.
So what do you think we can do to change things?
Australia is just so interesting. You know, I think we have this sort of narrative around Australia as being a very free and easy living place. And in reality, I think we have a lot of restriction and legislation in this country. And so that the apartment thing is a bit of a problem. I mean, I guess if you live in that strata title or whatever it might be, there will be restrictions on pets. And however, in some states, I know that there have been some changes to the Rental Act. And I'm not a housing researcher, but there have been some changes that have made it much easier for people to rent houses if they do have pets. But a lot of this is at local government level, and perhaps opening up some of the restrictions or time restrictions around being able to take your pets to the beach or to the park would be a really great first step. Down here in Tasmania where I live, I think I'm in Hobart, there's only about one beach that we have that's actually a dog-friendly beach. A lot of people really want to take their dog to the beach because it's such a nice thing to do, and a lot of the beaches where I live are usually deserted, but they have these sort of archaic bylaws that you can't, you know, bring your dog onto the beach. I think perhaps relaxing some of those rules. But also public transport's another big one. The government's trying to get us to take public transport more and be more responsible about our carbon footprint and all of those sort of things, emissions. But yet, if you want to go to an event on the weekend that perhaps is dog-friendly, you can't really get onto a lot of public transport with your pet. So I think a change could be made there, perhaps. Clearly, it's a bit of a cultural shift, I think, that we're going to have to sort of address.
So do you take your pets with you when you shop or when you travel?
Look, that's interesting. I have a dog and a cat. The dog that I have is a little Italian greyhound. And for those of you who know what an Iggy is, they're very highly strung. And if I had to tie him up outside a shop by himself, he just wouldn't enjoy that at all. And nor does he like being left in the car, so by himself. If I nip to the shops, I leave Bert at home. The cat doesn't really care what I do, but I would like to be able to, whenever you take your dog for a walk and you're going near a park, you have to look and see, oh, is my dog allowed in this park? There's a lot of rules and regulations, I think, that do stop us from perhaps interacting with our pets in public as much as we'd like to. I went to Launceston last weekend, and there's a beautiful boardwalk area, and there were so many people walking their dogs along there, and it was really delightful just to see strangers interacting with each other and asking about the dogs and just really having, you know, a lovely Sunday morning because they had their dogs with them. People don't tend to just talk to strangers if you haven't got a pet. So I think it'd be a great thing if we extended opportunities even more.
That's great. So as a marketing expert, do you think commerce would benefit from making pets more welcome?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I don't know how well they have taken off where you live, but we've got things like you've got them to cat cafes and dog cafes and places where you can specifically go and interact with animals. Some of the cafes and restaurants that tend to do really well are actually the ones that do welcome pets. And I should say children as well, not just pets. There are plenty of well-known pubs and cafes and restaurants that actually do a rip-roaring trade because they allow people to come and sit outside. And they not only allow dogs, but they welcome them. There are dog bowls and plenty of supportive people who are happy to interact with the pets. Dog. So there are good financial reasons as well for allowing more pets in public, I think.
Do you think people worry a little bit about badly behaved owners?
Yeah.
You know, dogs that are going to bite children, perhaps.
I think most of the negative comments that were made around this topic were not necessarily aimed at the pets. It was actually more at the owners. Owners not putting dogs on leads in public places. And I'm not at all suggesting that we should let dogs run loose in public places. This is all about responsible pet ownership. And there are plenty of people who are actually afraid of dogs in public. We have to be mindful of those sorts of things. But most of the complaints that people were making were around things like hygiene and people not picking up dog poo. Often it's the owner that people have the problem with, not necessarily the pets. Most people I know are responsible pet owners, and most of the interactions that I've seen have just been pets really bringing a smile to people's faces and making things a whole lot better. I think the example that we tend to see overseas is just a lovely one that I'd love to see emulated here a bit more.
So perhaps we can change the culture of Australia. It's been great talking to you, Dr. Grimace. Oh, thank you very much. Thanks,
Louise.
Thanks
so much for having me on, Elaine. It's a pleasure.
You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Joe Van Kool. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Elaine Jontek. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.